All right, so you would have heard Fastway has shut down effectively it and other services provided by an umbrella company. And of course, listen, we're only human. We think of this stuff subjectively. You know, what does it mean to me? I've sent something. Will it be delivered? I'm waiting on something. You know, will it arrive? But this obviously affects people too on a much more deeper level. And I'm sure amongst them is Stephen Doherty, who's owner of the Fastway franchise in Letterkenny. Stephen, thanks for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Greg.
Right, so we look at Fastway as sort of a big company, you know, with common logos all over the vans and what have you, all across the country. And maybe people aren't aware that it's local people, really, that can operate it locally. So how did you come to be a franchisor with Fastway, and how does that work, briefly, just so we understand?
Well, the franchise would have been up for sale there about 6 or 7 years ago. One local guy from Letterkenny had it. He had it up for sale. So I was interested in it. I bought it that time, like, you know. So that's about 6 or 7 years ago. But the actual franchise has got bigger now. You had to take in a couple of extra people and a couple of extra vans, and it was going good up until Tuesday evening.
So how many vans and people roughly would you have had on the road on a daily basis, Stephen?
Oh, well, I would have been kind of like, I'm set, like, I would have had two vans and two people out, like, you know, delivering. And a wee bit busier, maybe more, you know.
Depending on the season.
This would have been the Letterkenny area only, but there was a lot of other people, other contractors on there doing different areas, you know.
Was there any indication before Tuesday that Fastway were in bother?
Greg, there was rumour going about, but it was only rumour. You know, we didn't, like, we asked management on there, and they heard nothing about it. They were saying no. So we just went about our work. This was about 5 or 6 weeks ago, the rumour was flying about.
Mm.
But little did we know that this was going to happen, you know.
And are you surprised at it, Stephen, given the fact that, you know, firstly, you would know how many parcels you're handling, but that, you know, more people are shopping online, you know, on post, profits have gone through the roof, and it's mostly on packaging, and DHL are doing well. Like, were you surprised in the current environment when we're allegedly in a boom that a parcel company would go belly up like this?
Yeah, very, very shocked. Very shocked, you know. The way it does, we just weren't expecting it. We came back. The bank holiday Monday there, we came back in on the Tuesday morning, and it was kind of double bubble, if you know what I mean. There was just stuff left in from Monday as well, so extra people had to come in again and help drivers, and extra vans had to come in to get the place sorted, you know. And some of the drivers come back there on Tuesday evening, and they were told they weren't getting into the warehouse, but the receivers are on, closing the place down.
And what does that mean in terms of the parcels that, you know, were effectively potentially in the backs of vans, but in the storehouse as well? What does it mean? Was it like work stopped there, and then you had no choice, that's it?
That was it, Greg, yeah, no choice. We weren't getting into the depot. Anything was on the vans was left at the front, and then the receivers and that were taking them out, just pulling them inside the door.
Right, so the depot is owned by in. So the depot is owned by Fastway, and the different franchisees would be operating out of that depot.
Well, I don't think the depot's owned by from Fastway. I think it's leased.
Right, yeah. What I mean by that is that, like, you're there, someone with a franchise elsewhere, all getting the same message. There could be thousands of parcels in there. What do you know what happens to those parcels?
I haven't a clue, Greg. I don't, as far as I know, there's a third courier coming in, a third party coming in, delivering them and taking them, as far as I know. That part of them are a wee bit vague, but I'm only on here today to just to stand up for the rest of the boys. It's like we're being treated very poorly here, you know.
Yeah, because you're the front-facing part of the company, right? And people, I think this is useful for people to understand how this is structured and take a bit of the heat off you, Stephen, because it's not fair on you. Because I wonder What is the payment system with Fastway? Are you owed money by them, which means that you've got money to outlay yourself, or what's the story?
Well, I paid for the franchise. Like, the franchise was bought and paid for by myself.
But in terms of the income from Fastway, like, do they owe you any money?
Yeah. We worked, when I started there, Greg, I worked 4 weeks in advance.
Yeah.
So that 4 weeks now is sitting there, and we don't even know if we're going to get paid this week. I don't think we're going to get paid. So there's 4 weeks lying there. You'd be chatting anything up to $15,000, and a franchise would cost $25,000 on top of that.
Unbelievable. And can you pivot, Stephen? Like, you've got the you know, the expertise now, the vans potentially, the staff. Like, is that yours? Like, if you can't work for Fastway, that franchise, that investment that you put in, that at 25K is gone effectively. What can you do now, or have you had an opportunity to even think about that?
Well, this is the problem. See, Greg, if the money was coming in the next 2 or 3 weeks, it would have bought us a bit of time to, you know, try and get someone else. But you know yourself, with bills coming in and no money coming in, it's a no-no.
Are you effectively then...
My next job after...
go ahead, sorry, please, Steve. No, your next job after...
My next job after I put the phone down, we used to ring up the leasing company. I have 3 vans on lease to see what they can do for me. Because if I have nothing coming in, Greg, I have to do someone. You know, I just can't hang about.
Jeez, it's a horrible situation for you, Stephen. It really is. And a completely out of your control.
Well, I'm on here today just to see, like, just the way we've been treated. We've had no word. We were supposed to be sent an email for a meeting for Friday. We've been sent nothing. And we had no information. Do we get our money back? What's going on? Nothing. I just think it's shocking the way we've been treated.
And they've already met with their own directly employed staff. Are they planning to meet with the likes of yourself, the franchise, which effectively kept the business going?
Exactly. They're supposed to send a link today, apparently, through email, that this meeting's going to go ahead tomorrow, but we've had none yet. And just, to be quite honest with you, Greg, I wouldn't hold my breath.
It's funny too, you know, how different businesses are treated in different ways. Like, I think if you were a tech firm or something, the government might be talking about what ways it can do to support people like yourself until such time as you know what's going on. But because of the type of business it is, it sort of just passes under the radar, and the powers that be don't seem to take any interest.
Well, the problem is, see, I suppose, when the business is closed now for 1, 2, 3 days, you know, they're lost in business, where they had contracts maybe with Very and Sheen and all them type of companies. They're not going to, they have to get the stuff out, and they're not going to be waiting. You know, they have to get the stuff out, and that's it.
Do you see really, especially the way the business is created, do you see that this work going to existing delivery companies that are there rather than maybe a new entity that you could start engaging with?
I can't see it, no. I just can see maybe. I just don't know what's going to happen, Greg, to be quite honest with you. There was rumours somebody was going to take it over, but
that would have to happen quick.
Again, it's only rumour.
But it would have to happen
It would have to happen, the next few days, but I can't see it happening.
Yeah, because if it doesn't...
I'm on here to see if there's anybody can point us in the right direction, what we can do or what we can claim back, you know, if there's any counsellors out there. Yeah. Fastway themselves haven't spoken to us, the actual receivers, nothing from them either, you know. So I just think it's total disgust the way we're being treated.
I'm so sorry you're going through this, and I'm looking at various bits of information that have been put out there, and none of it sort of is referencing you. It's about consumers waiting for goods, or it's about this, that and the other.
I had my customers in Letterkenny there. I had CBM, Signs, Gary's, Pet World, all them big customers. I'll apologise for what's happened. But
what can you do?
As I say, like, I'm in bits here.
You're the victim here. No. You're the person here that's got... The one thing you need to do, though, is look after yourself and You know, things will be sorted out in terms of the vans and all that type of stuff. But make sure you look after yourself, Stephen. There's nothing else you could be doing for your customers. And there's nothing you can do until you know information. So try and, as I say, look after yourself, Stephen. And in a few days or weeks, things will become a little bit more clearer and manageable then.
Yeah, good man, Greg.
And I do look after yourself, Stephen. You can't do anything more for anybody else, right? The leasing companies will work with you. There's no doubt about that. And we'll keep our fingers crossed that maybe someone will come in and take Fastway over as a whole to try and get some of that value of your investment in the franchise. But as I say, ultimately, look after yourself. There's nothing you can do. This is out of your control. And in time, that will become very obvious if it's not now. Look after yourself, Stephen. If we get any info, we'll pass it on to you, all right?
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate your time.
Take care. Bye-bye. So, as I say, you know, there's nothing out there for Stephen and other franchisees. And to be honest with you, the CCPC, the Competition Consumer Protection Commission, doesn't have an awful lot of information other than to point out that when a consumer orders something for delivery, their contract is with the retailer, not the courier. Goods are the responsibility of the retailer until the buyer takes physical possession of the delivery. It is the retailer's responsibility to address any delay, damage and non-delivery. Orders should be delivered within 30 days unless otherwise agreed by the consumer and retailer. So what I will say to you is this, because I had a problem with a delivery recently and I purchased it through, what bank am I with? AIB. If I didn't receive the delivery within 15 days, that they will refund the payment that come out of my card. So maybe that might help some of you out there. And maybe then you might end up receiving the receiving the product into the future. If the delivery cannot be rearranged within a suitable period or where the delivery of the goods is no longer appropriate in the circumstances, consumers have the right to cancel their order due to non-delivery and receive a full refund, including delivery fees. The retailer must refund the consumer then within 14 days. So really, the CCPC are handing this off saying that's the rules. But the ultimate thing is actually, just in fairness to Fastway, they've got no say in this. They've had the rug pulled from under them, and Stephen's had a great loss there. He's owed 4 or 5 weeks as well. All right, next guest joining me in studio after a quick break. I'm joined in studio with two incredible young athletes from Donegal. We've had some amazing success this year, be it on horseback, on the flats, be it over hurdles, be it straight up running, boxing, and so much more besides. And we've got two fantastic people in front of me now. Roisin Hegarty from the Twin Towns Boxing Club. How are you getting on?
Good.
How are you keeping? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Right, you recently won gold at the Under 15 European Boxing Championships in Montenegro. How long have you been boxing for, Roisin?
Around 4 years.
All right, okay. And what drew you into the sport? And also, why is your face not in a mess?
We just kind of went down one day and was like, we didn't really take it serious. And then now it's kind of...
Did the coaches say anything or the trainers say anything? Did they see anything in you sort of? You know what? I think you've got something natural here.
I think from like day one, they showed belief in me from my old club and...
And where were you at previously, Roisin?
LA's Golden Gloves in Buncrana.
Right, okay. And how soon into your boxing journey then were you sort of competing?
About maybe like two years in.
All right, okay. So there was a lot of time and dedication went into that point. And did you ever imagine that you would be securing, you know, gold at this level?
No. If you told me last year that I would win gold, I probably would have laughed.
Yeah.
But it's a really good achievement.
And what is your style? Like defensive, sort of, you know, hit more than you get hit?
defensive and go in there. And
hands up, hands down?
Yeah.
All right, okay. And how many fights did you have to win to pick up the gold?
So I had a quarter final, two fights, and then my final. So three all in total.
Fantastic. And any of them tied?
I think my semi-final was my most hardest.
Yeah.
And then my final, it was hard as well. Well, none of it was obviously easy, but my semi-final would probably be the hardest.
And what is the rounds? Is it 3 2-minutes or three threes?
It's 3 1.5.
3 1.5, okay. So that doesn't give you an awful lot of time to get your work done. So you have to go bell to bell.
No, it definitely goes so fast when you're in the ring. Mm. Like, you don't know how fast it goes until you hear the last bell ring.
But it requires so much fitness. Like, I've seen people who are athletes, you know, really fit people, and they try a bit of boxing and they're gassed, you know, about 30 seconds in. It's a different workout, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to have a high, stamina going in there.
Mm.
Like, you can't go in there in the first 30 seconds, throw about 100 punches, and then the rest of the two rounds you're gassed out.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work like that.
Especially in the amateur game, you know what I mean? You can't sort of freewheel as such. And what do you... are you going on to the Worlds now or what? How long can you compete in under-15s? I was joking a bit earlier on because we were all a bit nervous about having a drink. I've also got Sam McCulkin. You could have advised that we had an under-15 in with me, Sam. You could help me out. But I'll come to Sam in a sec. So what's the next stage from under-15s? Is it under-18s or what?
It's under-17s, and that's in February for the All-Ireland. And then for the cadets, you're fighting people that's, older than you. So it's more harder to get into through the Ireland team again.
Do you want to continue though through the grades? Is this something now you've got a taste for and you want to keep going?
Yeah.
And I suppose the obvious question, it's probably too early yet. Do you think you'll turn over? Can you see yourself entering the pro game?
I'd like to stay as amateur for as long as I can, and then maybe pro later on down the line.
Yeah.
But with amateur, there's more levels to it, kind of.
So you want to do the hard work?
Yeah.
Okay. But then you saw, I don't know if you saw it the weekend, Wardley versus Joe Parker, and Wardley had no amateur fights whatsoever, and now he's the second best heavyweight in the country. But anyway, I'll come back to you in a second. Sam McColgan, part of Team Ireland, recently won the European Para Floorball Tournament in the Netherlands. Congratulations to you too, Sam.
Thank you very much.
A remarkable achievement. And talk to me about floorball, firstly, para floorball.
Floorball's new to us. We actually don't play it. So we play the wheelchair hurling. So we get on through the GAA to be invited over to play for Ireland. So there was trials then down in Dublin. Everybody went to trials, and then there was 12 people selected from the trials in Dublin to go to the Netherlands. So I was one of the 12.
And if we don't know floorball, what describe it to us, or what sport it might be most similar to?
Basically, it's like hockey, only we play it on the chairs and on a wooden floor. So it would basically look at.
And
it's kind of similar to the hurling, but it would be similar sticks to hurling, or it would be hockey sticks and stuff we would use rather than hurley sticks.
But you actually won it.
Well, we went in, that wouldn't be our number one sport.
No, this is what I'm trying to get to. You sort of says, right, okay, we can have a go with that, and you went and won it.
Well, we bit GSA. We didn't come top.
Right.
We didn't come top, but Demons is playing. That's what I was saying. We went in, and there were 7 teams all together, and Demons has been playing 10, 20 years, some of them.
Did any of you have to bluff the rules?
We didn't know really the
that's
rules,
what
to
I'm
be
saying.
Honest. I went in and there's called a sunburn.
Yeah.
And I was on maybe 2 minutes and I was sunburned straight away. And I was
what
here we
do?
Go. High stick. So in hurley, you can high stick.
Yeah.
In floorball, you can't. So the stick can't go.
And there's muscle memory there too as well.
There
it's
is,
not
that's
intense
it. And
as
you
such.
See the ball coming. So it's just well, he's not getting out in front of me, so I need to be in. So automatically my stick went off and it was just
So did you, in terms of the European Para Floorball Tournament, did you just win it or?
We beat USA, so we didn't come last, so we're happy enough for that.
Right, okay, so
but
it's not an actual win, but you had a win in beating one of the biggest teams that have been playing this for God
That's
knows
it.
How long.
And then we actually got an invitation now back to the Swiss Wheelie Open, which is unusual to get the invitations back, but we got that, so we were happy about it. They said
Brilliant.
It was, although they knew it wasn't our number one sport, we went down and we fought. Like dogs, they get through it.
Fantastic. So what is your number one sport then? It is
the hurling would be our number one.
So you keep at that as well too, though. But I mean, obviously, that's not international, is it?
No. So there's 4 provinces.
I was going to say, so this is an opportunity to compete internationally. So how are you going to focus now, training for that invitational versus?
Well, as soon as everybody now has realised that they've got the opening now, I think they're looking to really dig deep now and try and get at it, but. So we're on through the GAA, and then because of funding and budgeting and stuff, we go every 2 years. We're allowed to go every 2 years for the floorball. Now, this was my first time ever going. But so we shouldn't go next year, and then it should be the year after. But as I said, they're going to try now self-funding. and see if we can get going now and for the Swiss Wheelie Open.
So you've the bug now?
Aye.
Yeah, I've got that bug. Yeah. All right, that's fantastic. What an achievement. And do you, what did the USA know your story before you went into that game?
So some of the teams, they said...
Kind of fit in for them a little bit.
So, well, it was the same because they were kind of similar to us as well. Do you know what I mean? They were kind of new to it. But
okay, that's
they
not
took
so bad.
Some able bodies with them.
Right.
So you're allowed to play able... So, some of the teams, the bigger, higher teams, they had a gentleman's agreement that they wouldn't play no able bodies.
Okay.
But America, USA did. Whereas we had no able bodies
they
with us.
They broke the gentleman's agreement.
We literally went done way. Everybody that
no
we
wonder
needed
you
had.
Went and made the high stick so early.
So then that was that. We were just like, if we're going down, we're going down fighting. But it worked in our
And for those listening, Sam, you're in a wheelchair. That's acquired, yeah. Though. You haven't
it
always
is.
Been in a wheelchair.
No, I went into a wheelchair in 2014.
Yeah. What can I ask what age you are now?
Now I am, what age am I? 38.
You're 38?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, right, okay. So, you look 38. Did you put it down as 38, Roisin?
No.
I thought you were about 24.
I'll take that.
No, okay, right. No, I'm not saying that to be patronising. I genuinely
So I
did.
Went on the wheelchair in 2014 and literally my life changed overnight.
That was out of the blue, wasn't it?
It was.
Can
I,
you tell us about that?
It was a running joke at our house that I never walked anywhere. I literally run from A to B, no matter where. I wanted to go as quick as I could and fast as I could. So 2014, I got up that morning and I walked my wee boy to school and I came back and I fell outside my house and couldn't get back up.
You were very healthy too.
I was,
you?
I, so yeah. Like very fit, very healthy, but there was just like the signs was there for the 2 weeks before, like I had tingling in my legs, pins and needles, but I was doing a lot of training and stuff, never put it down to nothing. So didn't really do.
No, I've slipped.
That's it.
Blah, blah.
Skin infection. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Anything at all. So, as I said, that morning, left the wee boy to school. He had just started primary school and came back and was walking up the hill and fell.
Wow.
And couldn't get back up.
Yeah.
So, long story short, ended up getting taken to hospital, Letterkenny. And I was taken from Letterkenny then to Dublin. And lots of tests, lots of things. Stayed in Dublin for lots of months.
Mm.
Long, long time. And it was probably the darkest time of my life that I've ever experienced and hopefully ever will experience.
Fingers
but
crossed, yeah.
When I came out, I was just so happy to get home. Couldn't wait to get home because I was so far away from everybody. Couldn't wait to get home. And I was like, everything will be grand when I'm home. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
But the reality of it was, I was like, oh my God, this can't be my life. Like I came out, I was in an electric wheelchair. Didn't have a lot of power upper body, power earlier. So I was in an electric wheelchair, had personal assistants coming into the house 4 or 5 times a day.
So you went from a caregiver to a care receiver.
That's it. I went from a mammy to basically needing a mammy.
Yeah.
And it was just so hard. So I, as I said, I went in a really dark place for a long time and just didn't know how to work it. But eventually then I got myself like into a better place, headspace. And I was like, right, I need to start working on me, start working to try and better this, make it better. So I joined a gym. Messaged a lot of PTs and one of the PTs eventually he took me on, Vincent Sweeney, and I went into him that day and when he seen me he was like, what's going on here? Like I rolled on the electric wheelchair and he's like, I don't really think there's much I can do, like to work with you.
Wow.
And he sent me home and I went back the next day and he was like, is she okay? Like why is she back? So he came back over and explained the same thing to me again. I was like, I know, I was like, I remember you saying this all yesterday, but as I thought you might change your mind. So it was kind of like, no, look, it would be fair for me to work with you, and sent me home. And I went back the next day and he was like, right, what's going on? And I was like, look, it's actually not like a mental problem that I have. It is actually physical. But I was like, I lie in my house all day, every day, and I have personal assistants coming in 4 or 5 times. So I was like, I don't really have a life. I was like, so see, even if you just let me come in here and spend the day watching people for an hour, it'll give me something new to work towards. So he just was like, she's ran. She's not going to listen. We'll let her come back in because she's just come back tomorrow anyway.
Mm.
So he brought me back in and we just started working together. And to be honest, just literally it was like that.
Yep.
Flip of a switch and everything just started progressing.
So it was, what caused?
No answers.
Are you joking?
No answers for it. So that was the biggest thing. It was like, right.
So you've no movement in your legs at all?
None.
Feeling?
None.
And there's no scans aren't showing anything?
None. So it was like,
because that's going to be one of the biggest things to deal with, isn't it?
See, that's
if we have a why, we can sort of go, right, okay.
my thing was, like, if I had an accident, you'd be like, right, I understand yeah. that. I have this, I had that, this happened, that happened. It's the fact that you don't have the answers or what's
and
happening.
And is there
or,
any prospect of it returning?
I don't know. So it was always my thing, and you just have to live with hope. But in the early stages, every day, I had to walk. That was my goal every day. Like, I have to be able to move a toe. I have to be able to walk. Yeah. I have to be able to move my leg. And I was so focused on that I wasn't loving.
Yeah.
I was just focused on, like, what I couldn't do
you
all the time.
You had to reassess your goals, didn't you?
Like, even the PAs coming in the morning, they put me out in the wheelchair. I didn't want to get into it. So I was like,
I'm not a wheelchair
that's not my
user.
Life. This shouldn't be happening. I should be getting up and running up the hall. So I fought it so hard. And then eventually, as I said, I was just like, listen, that chair is going to be your best friend if you let it.
Yeah.
You need to get out of your own head and be like, listen, this is the worst thing. It is the worst thing.
Yeah.
Like, a spinal injury is the worst thing. I can honestly say that anybody will ever go through. It just wipes so much away from me. And people think that they see it. They don't.
How do you balance everything that you're doing now and not constantly searching for that article that references your something similar to you and some intervention someone's had that's worked for them?
See, it's that you still do always look, okay. But now it's not your main focus because now I have a reason, I have a purpose.
Gets you.
And like,
so you're not defined by that? If it's addressed in the future, fine.
Yeah.
But your life is not defined by
now,
getting out of that chair.
I can honestly say, going back, I didn't have a life and I felt like my life was over.
Yeah.
Whereas now I could do everything except walk.
Yeah.
There's not a thing I can, I drive.
Yeah.
I'm back being the mommy. I'm back being independent. I can do everything by myself. Like, there is times I need help, but the majority of things I am independently living. And I'm just like, I need to put this out now to other people because I fought for everything. Like, I had to keep arguing and fighting and pushing and driving for towards everything.
I think if you didn't have that transness,
yes,
you probably couldn't have got to where you are
nowhere.
Now. So you had to do this yourself. You had to convince others to see what you felt in yourself.
100%. And that's my thing now. I want to be the person that I needed back then. I needed somebody to come in and push me and push me and push me. And they weren't. They were just meeting my needs. And that was perfect for them. Do you know what I mean? But I had more in me. And I needed to fight to get to there.
Mm.
So it's kind of being like, what if there's somebody out there now that can fight that themselves? So I want to be that person for them. Do you know what I mean? And be like, listen, it's going to be horrendous. It's going to be hard. It's going to be shocking. There's going to be days that you're just not even going to want to get out of bed. But they're going to let you lie in bed if you want to lie in bed. Do you know what I mean? So you have to be your own advocate. You need to get up. You need to fight for it. And my own, like, story is sentiment to be sport. Sport was my number one thing. And that's what brought me back.
Mm.
Because, like, I play wheelchair basketball, play wheelchair hurling, and then now the floorball, and it's given me that drive again. Do you know what I mean? That I'm in a situation now where I'm with people that I'm not the only wheelchair user. I go on usually places, and it's just like there's somebody in a wheelchair.
Is it you've explained it really well? But is it the case now that if there's any developments or improvement, that's just ice cream? That's a
that's
bonus
that's
because
it.
You are who you are now and living your best life.
Yeah.
So rather than searching, for something, you are where you're at, and if something comes along, well, so be it. And yet you're so far advanced, you're so right in others that don't have someone to kick them up the backside.
Yeah.
Tough love, maybe even.
Tough love,
extent.
Sometimes that's needed.
You were giving yourself tough love. Yeah. You were saying, right, stop feeling sorry for yourself, get out of this bed.
Like, I can see, like, when I look back, I'm like, I can understand why I felt like that. Do you know what I mean? My life had been
100%.
Wrapped out from under me. But it was just like, don't just let them, like, accept it. Do you know what way? Because if I had accepted it back then, I wouldn't be doing half the things I'm doing now.
You could have someone coming in and going, oh, you sat yourself up today, did you?
That's it. Aye.
As if that was the goal or achievement.
That's it. Yeah. My only thing when this started happening to me was I wanted to be able to make a cup of tea by myself.
Mm.
That was my aim. That's it. And when I look back now, I'm like, make a cup of tea. Like, look where you're at now. Look what you're doing. Do you know what way? And it's like,
scamming the poor USA out of a blooming win at the para floorball tournament.
But as I say, like, it's testament to the sport and the opportunities I've been given.
The PT side of it, was it about strengthening your core and your upper body strength that you can get into your car easily lift?
I wouldn't have good core at the minute. But I have good upper body strength mm-hmm. and all now. Do you know, I can, so I can get in and out of the car. I can do everything. Like, I throw my chair in and out of passenger seat and drive off. But again, it was one of them things that I had to go towards to get this chair, because I had a electric chair. So that had to be a specialized van. And I was on the back of the van.
You couldn't have the level of independence that you wanted to with an electric chair.
Like, I actually learned how to drive. I don't know if I should say this, but I learned how to drive at the stockyard track.
That's fine.
That was how I ended up going back down and learning.
It'd be worse if you says over the back of Errol.
No, that's down the stockyard track, because it was kind of like, everybody was like, we don't think you're going to be strong enough to do it, you don't think. And I was just like, no, I will. I know I'll be able to.
And with the best will in the world, and I'm kind of really speaking maybe to other people that have someone who's going through something similar in your life, you'd be tough on people. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Is that,
yeah.
say, you know, stop wrapping people in cotton wool, say, right, listen, you can do this. Did you see or did you hear Sam on the radio this morning? Look what she's done.
Yeah. I see people.
You have to set your own goals, of course. We can't all be Sam McColgan.
That's it. And see me as a mommy. Like, I can see now, like, if this happened to one of my children, I'd want to wrap them up.
Mm.
But me on the other side of it, when I see, like, would you push it and push it and push it, like, I can see how far it can go, do you know what way? So I'm kind of like on the other side of that now. I'm like, I know it's like somebody you want to look after and you're there to protect them and look, but push them.
Are
push
you
them
involved
as far as you can.
With an organisation or a body
so
that's
I went
using
in the
Indy, your
like,
skills?
Disability Sport Northern Ireland.
Okay, right.
And they took me into schools and stuff,
okay, that's
and
good.
Especially right. to work with like women in sport.
As long as you, as long as someone's tapped into you, that's really what I was asking.
Yeah.
Okay. And much in Donegal?
There is a thing now that hopefully is going to be starting in Donegal.
Mm.
But at the minute, there's not really much.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Something needs to be started behind you, Sam.
Yeah.
Because there's not going to be very many people better than you. So if there's not something there now, I don't know which organisation it is, I don't know which group it is, but they need to get behind you and help you get your message out there.
Yeah.
You know, not wait for something to fit, because you're there, ready, willing and waiting.
Again, fairness to the Donegal County Council too, they done a thing down at Inch Island, and then a few weeks ago they took me down then and asked me to go round it as a wheelchair user and tell them what they needed to change, because it was very accessible. But there was like things that they wouldn't think on. And like it's, you find that in a lot of places.
What's the towns and villages like?
Terrible.
Right.
Terrible. Yeah. Even like the parking.
We were talking about Rafo there the not so long ago. And the stuff's there, but
it's
not
there.
Usable.
No. And it's the same with the parking. Car parking is usually for the passenger. The disabled base is usually for the passenger.
Very
it's very, very, very rare you'll get somewhere that'll have, and especially because I'm a mommy, I need the passenger side and the driver's side. Do you know what I mean? And you very rarely get that. So it's things like that they don't think. They just be like, we've put the facilities there, there's a disabled bay.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but it's not.
It's not actually. You've ticked the box, and someone in an office somewhere thinks that you've served the needs of someone with a disability, but clearly you haven't.
Aye.
Right. Again, I mean, you know, people need to be using you in a consultant because you're very physical, right?
I am.
So you're not everybody is. So
no,
if you're struggling,
if
someone who doesn't have the upper body strength that you have or the determination, because I see in my head someone with an acquired disability with a disability driving once around Letterkenny, the second time around Letterkenny, and
that's me.
Going home and never leaving the house again.
Mm,
do you know what
me.
I mean? Now, you won't.
That was me
that.
At the start. I've said that before. I was like, see, when you went out too, you're up against so many barriers that you just think that basically you're a burden.
Mm.
You're like a hindrance. So it's like, I'm going to go home and I'm not going to go on. But then when I was like, sure, you're going to be sitting in the house.
Yeah.
What good's that? So that was why I went back. And then that's why I was like, it needs change.
I also, Sam, want you to use this show going forward when there are things that need to be talked about. We reach an awful lot of people, you know, be it regular people or people in powers of decision making.
Yeah.
I think we need to be working together more to get the message out there as well too. Roisin, some story, isn't it? Roisin Hegarty from the Twin Towns Boxing Club.
Yeah.
Who's your favourite boxer?
Probably Katie Taylor.
Yeah? Do you think you'd take her?
Probably not.
Could you go around with her?
I could try.
Yeah. But you wouldn't fear anyone. You can't have any fear in what you're doing, can you?
No.
How do you deal with nerves?
I just kind of take deep breaths and tell myself I can do it.
Yeah.
And whatever the outcome is, and like
Yeah, you've done the time in the spar and you've done the time in the training. Are you a good loser?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Well, parts of it, like.
What other sports are you interested in?
Well, boxing's always been my number one, but I do love Gaelic.
Yeah, very
and
good.
Football.
Brilliant. So you're an all-round athlete. So the next competition then, is that you finished with the under-15s now?
Yep.
Right, so your next competition, did you say, was under-16s, 17s nationals?
Under-17s, and that's in February.
Yeah. Are you still wearing headgear?
Yeah.
You do still wear... Well, not all amateurs do now. At what stage does the headgear come off, or is that always in the women's game?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Listen, I just want to make sure that I have this in the bag now. Are you going to turn professional and win a world championship? Because I want to say I was part of the journey, right? So is that going to happen? Are you waiting on Eddie Hearn to ring in about 5 years' time?
I hope so.
Fingers crossed, fill out the Three Arena. Maybe fill out the new Finn Park Stadium if that ever gets built.
Yeah, hopefully.
Brilliant. Well, well done. Was it a good experience at Montenegro? Were you allowed to enjoy it, or is it all locked in, all focused?
It is all locked in, but you yourself kind of have to make the most of it. But having like support and being like, friends with everyone and having coaches to push you till your fullest is like the most part of it. And
yeah,
that's kind of what I enjoyed the most.
Well done. I think you could go far. You've gone far already, but I think the world's your oyster, Roisin. It's what you want to do is the deciding factor. Would you agree, Sam? It's whatever target she sets herself, because I get the impression from her that she might be softly and quietly spoken, but she would take the head off me.
Different person on the right end.
Exactly. But I think that comes from the discipline, Roisin. You know, you do see an awful lot of guys and girls that are very, you know, they're very controlled in their manner until the bell goes.
Yeah.
And I think boxing sort of helps with that discipline as well, of emotions and all that kind of stuff. Brilliant stuff, Roisin. We look forward to following your career. It's already an amazing achievement. Gold at the Under-15 European Boxing Championships. Just you have that there. If you could just for the camera, just show us your... There you go. It is gold. I like that it's square as well. Or rectangular, you know what I mean, rather than circular. Lovely.
Beautiful.
Nice bit of gear. Here's to adding many more. Where's that going to hang?
Probably the top of my wardrobe.
So unassuming. It's lovely. Well done, Roisin. Thanks so very much indeed. Sam, thank you so much. It's a brilliant story. It's almost like... it's not quite there, but what's that story? The bobsleighing team... this whole idea of these hurlers heading over and beating one of the biggest, strongest nations in the world.
It's great. It was good.
Fantastic. And keep doing the advocacy work. Keep, as I say, you know, keep us on speed dial for anything that comes up, anything that we need to highlight. There's brilliant people out there, but the more voices, especially if it's, you know, younger people, sometimes feel underrepresented. And I think you've a great opportunity in anything that you do. And as I say, someone in this county needs to organise a programme behind Sam, because she's ready to go and spread the word and spiritually get people back on their feet again, if you know what
That's
I mean.
Up.
Okay, thanks so much, Roisin. Lovely to have you in. Continued success, as I say. Sam McColgan, fantastic story.
Thank you very much.
And a very inspiring story before the story of the para floorball tournament. Okay, we'll be back with the final segment of the 9 till noon show after we take this break. Just to give you a quick update, this will be going on the news, and not a quick update, but this will be going on the news and on our website as well. But there is a missing lady, and Gardaí is seeking your help in tracing the whereabouts of 37-year-old Ciara O'Callaghan. And Ciara, if you're listening, please make contact with home or with a Garda station. Maybe you just needed a wee bit of time to yourself, but people are quite worried about you. Ciara is missing from her home in St. Johnstone since Friday the 24th of October. Ciara is 5'4" in height, with blonde hair and blue eyes. When last seen, Ciara was wearing black leggings, a black fur jacket and pink and white Nike runners, but just be conscious that that was from last Friday. Gardaí and Ciara's family particularly are concerned about her well-being. So Ciara, if you happen to be listening or if you see the message, please get in contact with your family and let them know you're okay, or the Gardaí, and you can go on to Highland Radio's Facebook page, or my own Facebook page there for that matter, and take a wee look of a picture. and share it out there. And just as soon as we get word that Keira's okay, we'll bring all of that down, as we already do, just to get rid of the picture and the text and all that kind of stuff so people can come home, and that's grand. No answer on that, Caroline, so I will batter on. Greg, I want to wish Roisin all the best, as she is like a daughter to me. I've known Roisin since she was born. Her dad, Raymond, is my cousin. Roisin's a great girl, worked very hard since she was 7 years old, and have four All-Ireland medals and now gold. To the First Lady in Donegal to win gold. I'm very proud of you, Eunan. Yeah, Eunan, Roisin's got a lovely charisma about her, you know, and sometimes you don't have to be the loudest voice in the room to sort of have that charisma, and Roisin certainly has it, a cool character, but obviously knows how to handle herself. You don't get gold at any level. You don't get gold at any level unless you can. Right, Dr. Chris Luke is host of the Irish Medical Lives podcast. He joins me now. Good morning, Chris. Thanks for your time.
Morning, Greg. Good morning.
Talking in the context of a new study published in the Irish Medical Journal, and researchers have concluded that e-scooter collisions are partly to blame for a growing burden on trauma and emergency care systems. So we often look at the top line figure, very sadly, of course, which is fatal incidences. We don't generally talk of or get a sense of injuries, serious injuries in any sort of traffic related instances. So what do we know, or what is the data telling us about e-scooter injuries?
Well, we know that self-evidently they become a remarkably popular means of transport around our cities, and roughly 95% plus of e-scooter use is in the cities like Dublin and Cork. And we know that the typical e-scooter casualty, that's the person who rides in an emergency department in our hospitals, is a young male under the age of, you know, between 15 and 35. And we know that typically 90% of them plus are not wearing any helmets. And as a result of that, they are vulnerable to head injuries, neck injuries, and of course, obviously, with any kind of cycle or e-scooter, you're very vulnerable to upper limb and lower limb fractures, which may need surgery. And I suppose the headline is that there were four e-scooter-related deaths in last year, up from one in 2022. And there are now at least four studies done by hospitals in Dublin, the Mater, Vincent's, Tala and Blanchardstown, in other words, the four corners of the city. And they've all looked at roughly 100 cases per annum in the last year or two. And I suppose the takeaway is that there's a steady upward trajectory, and there's a lot of evidence that the regulations applying to e-scooters from May last year are simply being ignored, well, particularly by young men.
Of course, and it is a green light once you have legislation governing it. I don't understand why they're being treated as bikes in terms of helmet wearing and what have you. But Chris, my observation is, and this is not just locally here or in the urban areas of Donegal or even in Dublin, I don't see e-scooters integrated with vehicular or pedestrian traffic. They're regulated for, they're legislated for, but it seems still incredibly ad hoc. Wrong way up a footpath. When they're on the road, they look so blooming vulnerable that you wonder why they're doing there. It's almost they are, whilst they are governed, right, they are not integrated. Drivers aren't used to them. They're not using the scooters as they're supposed to. I can't imagine that is not having an impact on the amount of presentations we're seeing.
Well, I think you're 100% right. I mean, on the issue of integrating or disintegrating, perhaps, I mean, what you really need, from my humble point of view, is that, you know, you need the same kind of separation or segregation that you have in Copenhagen or Amsterdam. Mm. In other words, you need dedicated laneways. And, of course, the regulations stipulate that you must travel at a speed less than 20 kph. You must not travel on the pathway. You must not carry any passengers. You should wear a helmet and high viz. And of course, if you look at the young men particularly, it seems like anarchy. I mean, I've noticed this myself, and I live in near the city centre in Cork. You know, young women who are on these e-scooters have high vis. They have the helmets with the red lights flashing at the back, and you know they do exactly what they're supposed to do. Whereas so many of the young men are hurtling along on the pavement
even if this was to be on the road, right? You have a situation, and I've come across it, where it's piddling rain, it's nighttime, and these scooters are on the road into the side. Don't get me wrong, that's where they're supposed to be. The size of them aren't big enough, I don't think, to actually facilitate lights and reflective equipment that actually would be sufficient. And they're standing. So at least if you're cycling, you're seated and there's a balance issue, but they're standing on them on main thoroughfares, pitch black, limited lighting because of the size of the vehicles that they're on. And that's actually what the rules of the road say they should be doing without a helmet. There's no compulsion for them to wear a helmet. Obviously wear a helmet, but that's astonishing to me. I really find it beggars belief.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I mean, from my perspective as a medic who's interested in trauma and trauma prevention, you know, the RSA, the Road Safety Authority, has suggested that up to a quarter of these young men have been in a near miss, and a third of them have been involved in a collision. So again, that gives you some sense of the kind of culture or the behaviour by the kind of people who get brought into hospitals following e-scooters. Because I mean, by definition, there's far fewer young women who tend to wear the helmets and the high vis. So it's largely about the culture among the young men using e-scooters. And of course, many of them have souped up the scooters. They're going too fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Many of them have passengers on the back and so on and so forth. So, yeah. The big thing is that the regulations are there, but they're not really being enforced
yet.
And I think the answer really is to seize the scooters where there's breaches of regulations.
Chris,
and I think not only will you stop injuries, but you may also reduce troublemaking as well.
Chris, thanks so very much indeed. Dr. Chris Luke, you can hear him on the Irish Medical Lives podcast. Look after yourself, Chris. Any views on that? 086 60 25,000. A quick congratulations to our own Colm Furter. He was the winner of Clargilga na Bléana, their radio Track de la 2025. They've collected that award. It's the Irish Programme of the Year on Commercial Radio 2025. He's coming into studio tomorrow because we have to celebrate that, don't we? Great broadcaster and a great achievement. Chat to you tomorrow with the Friday panel, ETC.